tenders given the last couple of weeks. But, you know, if we're going to make it there for a little bit, but thank God. I appreciate the gifts that you gave me. And I want you to know I want that money to be put to good use. We'll put it in for a missions program, and I appreciate, you know, I appreciate that. Touch the Bible, take it and turn to the book of Acts. I want you to be praying for Brother Stephen for this next month. He's going to be teaching in here for the next month, and say, what you going to be doing? I don't know. I know one thing is I'm going to try to get in some of the other classes, and I'll be in maybe here some, but I'm going to get in some of the other classes. I'm also praying about a few things that I'm going to try to be doing this next coming year, if the Lord allows me. One of the things I want to be doing is trying to get my own head and mind right. I feel like I've been a little bit, I don't know, been a little bit harsh. I'm just seeing things in the Scripture I feel like I fall so short of, and oftentimes it seems like the whole church is falling short of, and if I ain't careful, I get a little bit aggravated, and I want to always speak the truth and do it in love. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, and we're going to be in verses 5 for just a moment, and we're going to continue over in Acts chapter 6. I'm going to be reading in verses 25. It says, "Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men that you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Now, Peter and had been in there, and they had been teaching, you know, about the Lord Christ, and that he was Messiah, and what all was that he had taught them that they were to share to the people, and they was giving that. And so what did they do? They took them, had them arrested, and put in jail until an appointed time they was going to bring them out, and then they was going to try them. Well, when it's time for them to bring them before the Sanhedrin Council, they go down there and look, and God already took them out of the prison. Now, I let me say this. You might one day get in prison. Could happen. Could be the whole church one day maybe could get arrested, just like they were starting now to persecute the church there in Jerusalem. That could come here. Don't think, you know, that we're exempt. It could happen. And don't think because, you know, we're children of God that we're not going to suffer problems and troubles. No, as a matter of fact, because we are children of God, we're going to suffer more problems, more tribulations than this world will. The thing of it is, though, it's temporary. Amen? It's for a short period of time. And the Bible says, you know, that I can't remember where it's at over there, but it talks about, you know, the light afflictions we have now are not to be compared with the glory that we're going to have, you know, in heaven. So there's going to be troubles, there's going to be problems, there's going to be persecutions, and we see right now that it is starting. And so they had them arrested. Well, God came in the night, and I'm going to tell you what, the same way it happened to them, we are to expect God to move on our behalf. There was a, I don't know if you ever read it, it was about a man who was arrested in Romania when Russia was, you know, the United Soviet States of Russia was controlling it and was over it. He was arrested for being a Christian. He was put into prison. He was tortured 14 years in prison. But he said it was a great day for him because he was praying about this, because he did not know what he would do if they got his family. Be honest, we wouldn't either, you know. You don't know what you might would say to try to protect your wife and children, you know. what you might be willing to do to try to protect them. He said, but it was a wonderful day when he knew that they were safe and out of the country and in a place where they were in safety. He said, there was nothing they could do to me after that. Nothing. He said, buddy, he said, I could walk through walls. There wasn't nothing they could. And they did some awful things to him. Now, we see right here, they're starting on them, but it won't be long. They're going to be turning on the whole church. Women, children, don't make no difference. And we don't know what the future may hold, but this is what had started here. Now look what happened. It says, and then the captain with the officers brought them. Well, they told them, they were out there teaching, so they went and got them. But the captain was very careful how he treated them and brought them without violence, for they feared the people. Then that they should have been stoned. See, they weren't worried about, they weren't being, careful with them for their sake. They were doing it for their own sakes. If it hadn't been for the people, they'd have probably knocked them around, beat them around, everything else, But they said, well, we better be careful because these people are listening to them. They're taking them for profits. If we go in here and take them roughly, he said, they're liable to kill us and turn on us. So they were very careful about what they did. And then they had brought them, set them before the councils, and the high priest asked him, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Now, that's where it started. Now, look, they were making rules. They were making regulations saying, hey, now, God never said that. God never told them, they were not to teach in that name. So now they say they're setting up, they teaching for commandments. Men's thoughts, men's ways, what they believe, what they wanted. Now I'm gonna tell you that kind of stuff gets into religion. It can get in our churches. It can get into a preacher and get into a Sunday school teacher. We need to be careful of these things. And here they are. We told you, you are not to teach in this name. He said that you should not teach. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Well, it wasn't their doctrine. Before, Jerusalem had been filled with their doctrines, their teachings, not God's, theirs. You see, and now they're giving them the doctrines that God has given them, and what are they calling them? Their doctrine. Your doctrine. Well, I tell you what, when your doctrine is God's doctrine, you're in a good place. Huh? That's where you need to be. See, they were accusing them, of teaching their doctrine. But they weren't. They were given the doctrines of God. And guess what? If they were their doctrines, then they weren't the Sanhedrin Council's doctrines, were they? It wasn't their teachings. So the teachings of God, they had rejected for their own. That's what's happening right here. We told you not to teach in this name. God told them to go teach in that name, so they rejected God's doctrines, God's teachings for their own. And that is something that it happens in religions, it happens in churches all the time. That's how a church apostatizes. It's when they start taking, the teachings of men, well, a better rendering would be like this. Then they read from the scriptures and a better rendering would be, and then they would explain away the scripture. They would take the scripture and say, this is what it means. Well, it means what it says. You better learn what it says. So that's what it means. You don't have to figure it out. You just gotta read it for what it says. Try to understand what it says. Now, I had a book. It was, and this book was on the parables of our Lord. And I was talking to my son-in-law yesterday. I said, I'm not saying this, but I guarantee you about 80% of everything that's in this book is heretical. I said, because they're going to take these parables and they're going to apply them to the church. And all the parables of the Lord had to do with the coming kingdom. It didn't have anything to do with the church. So when you're sitting there trying to apply these parables to the church, now you can take and you can get principles from it for living, but you cannot apply it to the church without getting into heresy, false teaching. And so you said, why do you bring that up? Because the church is filled with that kind of stuff, where we're taking the Word of God and we're taking it and bending it to mean what we want it to mean and say what we want it to say. And we've got to be careful of that. I asked God one time about this. Do you know, over in the Old Testament, it said plainly that no child would die for the sins of the fathers? Right? Ain't that correct? All right. Well, now, when Saul had sinned against God, and he had a group of people that they had covenanted with and promised that they could abide there with them, and he took them and had them killed. Do you remember what ended up happening? They had been cursed for that. The nation had been cursed for that, for what Saul had did. And then David said, What is it that I'm to do? He said, inquire of what was left of these peoples. And he said, we don't want no blood, we don't want no vengeance, we only want the sons of the one who did this to us. And they took the sons of Saul and they hanged them. And they hung them up. They died. For whose sins? For Saul's sins. Well, I said, I don't understand. You said that they would not die for the sins of the father. Anybody know why that happened? I mean, it's important. If you don't, you got God saying one thing, doing something else. Does that make sense to you, what I'm saying? They had sins. And you remember when God gave them all that law, He sent men up here on one little hill, and He sent another up on another little hill, and over on one side were 50 blessings if they obey everything that they said to God, and on the other were 50 curses that would fall upon them if they disobeyed God. He had disobeyed God several times, and the Lambs, they were under a curse. That's the reason why this thing fell. That's what David said, what should I do to get this curse off of us? Under the curse, they died for the sins of their fathers. So we need to be careful about what we do and what we teach having to do with the Scriptures. If you ain't careful, you're going to be totally out of context. And you're not going to understand what God's trying to say. Now, under the blessings of David, David said he'd never seen God's people forsaken or children beg bread, right? Ain't that what he said? You remember when they was under the siege, they was eating their own children. They was eating pigeon dung and horses' heads. And they were starving to death. And they were whose children? God's children. Got to be careful about when you pull scriptures out. They were under a curse. God had cursed them for their disobedience, and they were under that curse. So those blessings that was under David didn't apply there. Jesus Christ was made a curse for us. I'd never seen God's people forsaken. Why did Jesus cry out upon the cross? My God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? The only righteous one that ever lived. And if ever was a child of God, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he was forsaken and on the cross. He was made a curse that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Took the full blame. He took the full blame and poured it out on him. I thank God that he did. He said, did we not straitly command you? And you intend to bring the blood of this man upon us. Well, I got news for him. It wasn't just upon them. It was on everybody. The blood of Jesus Christ. And you better get the blood on you, amen. You better have it applied. He said, you intend to bring this blood against us. Well, I tell you what, if they'd have been wise, they said, we're guilty. Huh? We accept that. Then Peter said, and the other apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to slay them. Who was it they was really wanting to kill? Yeah, they don't want to kill. They'd already tried to kill God's son. Who is it? They want to kill God. Why? Because this is God's words. Again, they've already rejected God's doctrines for their own. And now, again, they're receiving the teachings that God had for them that they were guilty. And it wasn't but one hope, and it was in the one that they were rejecting. They took counsel to slay them, and then stood up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said to them, you men of Israel, you take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. But before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, by whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. And after this rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. And he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. They had gathered a council too, hadn't they? And whose counsel was it of? It was of men, wasn't it? And what did it come to? Naught. It didn't stop nothing. God was at work. And was nothing that man was going to be able to do about it. And old Gamaliel probably gave him more wisdom than he really understood when he said that. He said, for this counsel be of men, it's going to come to nothing. Now, I don't care what we do as a church, if our counsel, if our work be of men, it's going to come to nothing. And we're going to see a little more of that, because he said, this witness is of who? The Holy Ghost. It's not our witness. This is being witnessed by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's giving them these words. It's the Holy Spirit that's giving them this doctrine. It's the Holy Spirit that's bringing to their remembrance all these things that Jesus Christ had taught them. And they are rejecting it. After this, then, after he told them this, he said, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, notice this, what did they do? They beat them. They're trying to intimidate them. Trying to put fear in them. Huh? But God didn't give us a spirit of fear. God doesn't want us to intimidate people. It ain't for us to get up here and take the word of God and try to scare people with it. Or you better do this, blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. It's the goodness of God that leadeth men unto repentance. It's the love of Christ. Now, I'm all for letting people know that there is a hell. But I'm going to tell you something. Most people won't get saved just because of hell. There's got to be a change of heart towards God. They got to want God. Just trying to escape hell ain't going to get a man saved. It ain't. You can't just go out and buy fire insurance. It don't happen that way. I'm all for giving. I do. I warn people about hell. I said, but God loves you. He does not want you to go there. They got to have a change of heart towards God. They got to want God. No, who do you know wants to go to burning hell? This whole world knows that there's a hell. They try to put it out of their mind. They try to make it light. But deep down in their hearts, they know that there's a hell. There's an eternal judgment coming. And they realize this. But they don't want to think about it. Let's give them something else to think about. Let's let them see how much God loves them. What he did to keep them out of that lake of fire that's coming. That's right. And it's a want to. And for it is God that worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. I was also thinking with that in mind. You talk about free will. I'll be honest with you. I ain't got a clue how free will works. you might. I don't. I mean, the Bible says plainly that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that not right? He said, but nobody will come to Jesus except the Father draw him. You know what I'm saying? I can't figure it out. All I know is God's got a part and I got a part. And it's Jesus that does the saving. What a miracle. I'm just thankful that God loves us. And I can tell every person I meet today, God loves you. See, one of our bus youngins this morning, I said, girl, come here. We're over there. Give her a hug. I said, boy, I sure miss you. I said, I hope you can be coming back soon. I said, God loves you. We love you. And she said, I'm gonna be getting back. I could have went over and said, I'll tell you what, you better quit messing around out there in the world. You're gonna get your life. And you know what she'd have done? Put that thing in drive and put the gas on it and get out from under this, huh? God's going to beat the fire out of you, and if you ain't saved, you're going to hell. Be careful. It says, we're his witness. They beat him. They beat him. And then they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Daily in the temple in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus. Now, what would you do if every time you went to a door and the guy and you walked up the door and said, hey, I'm just out here visiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I just want you to know how much God loves you. He raised her, pow, slaps you right in the mouth. Get out of here. I don't want to hear about that junk. Yeah. come on, go to the next house, you know. Huh? Are you going to go away from there saying, praise God, I got to suffer shame for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? Huh? I know what most people are going to do. They're going to say, I'm going to the house. Heck with this. Let them go ahead and go to hell and fry like a cake of sausage. They ain't slapping me in my face no more. They beat them and went back home rejoicing.
You know, sometimes
the words of their rejection is stronger, the harsher. Well, hey, I tell you what. I'm going to tell you something. If somebody's that adamant against what's going on, there's something touching them, ain't it, Brother Ernie? Huh? Something's speaking to them. Something's bothering them. Amen? Yes, sir. You're exactly right. Exactly right. Amen. Well, anyway, and then after this, we see the appointment of, I'm not going to get into this, but we see the appointment of the first deacons, because, you know, they were going to the apostles and talking, you know, wanting them to make a decision, you know, over people that were being left out and not being taken care of. And they said, well, you know, you're at a point, you know, we should appoint some men over this and that we can stay, you know, studying the scriptures and in prayer and staying into the doctrine of God, the things that God called us to do. And we see the first deacons appointed here. And then there was, and of those deacons, and we'll begin reading. And the word of God, verse 7 of chapter 6, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians. Well, I tell you what, you got a name like Libertine, you better watch out, huh? Huh? Because if it ain't the liberty of Christ, it's the liberty of the flesh. I can tell you that right now, huh? And these Libertines, they in an argument, and they got them Alexandrians down there too. You know, that's where them Gnostic Gospels came from. That's where you get your Jehovah's Witnesses and your Mormons and a lot of that kind of doctrine, you know, that is in these congregations. And you got these Alexandrians and you got these Libertines and these Cyrenians and those of Cilicia and of Asia, and they were disputing, they were arguing with Stephen. They said, well, that's not right. And they try to come up an argument, but notice what happened here. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Why? Because it wasn't him speaking, was it? No, it was God speaking. He said, yeah, you know some things, but you got it all mixed up and twisted up. And God was telling them the true way, the right way. He was moving them away from the doctrines of men and the understanding of men and trying to give them the truth. Why? Because he loved them. He wanted them to be saved. He was disputing with them. And notice what happened. They could not resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And then they suborned men which said, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. You know what they did? They twisted his words and they told a lie on him. They said he's a blasphemer. He's blaspheming Moses. No, he was telling the truth of Moses. The same truth that Moses knew. But they had taken and made the word of God of none effect by their own traditions and their own teachings. And so now here they are face to face with God. And again, what we find, hey, these religious leaders are rejecting the doctrines of God for the commandments of men. They set up false witnesses. This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say, I got news for him. That place was not holy. I got news for you. This building ain't ain't holy in itself. It's just been set apart for a holy people to come and meet. But you see, they had icons. They worshiped the temple. They didn't worship the God of the temple. They worshiped the temple. Some years ago, I heard, I'm trying to think of, Brother Tommy Steele was talking about that. He said, we got people that worship the work instead of God of the work. See, they love soul winning more than the one who wins the souls. It's a tremendous message. I mean, great with the book. Really good. And that's what is happening somewhat here. We got people, they love the temple, but they don't love the God of the temple. And Jesus said, you said if a person, you know, curses by the gifts on the temple, he said, what makes those gifts worth anything? It's the God to whom you've given them to. For His work, for His cause, for His glory. And they've rejected the glory of God for their own glory. And I don't want to get up on no soapbox on this, but I've seen that in meetings I've been to before where you get four or five preachers up there and they just, you know, back slapping each other, you know, and giving glory to a man. This is a great man of God who's doing a great work. I'm going to tell you something. He didn't do the work. Why didn't all four of them get up there and say, look, we just want to praise God for a little bit, for all that God has done and allowed me to be a part of? I'm not fussing at these men. I don't know. But it's kind of got to be a habit in our churches to do that. To glorify men and what they do. Or glorify church and what that church is doing. We ain't doing nothing. This is God's work. We are privileged just to come and watch Him work. We're privileged to knock on a door and watch Him work. That's a privilege. Now you know why I say I need to take a break. Because I'm just filled up full of meanness right now. And what did they do? They took him. This man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against his holy place and the law. We've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that said in the council, looking steadfastly on him, notice it, saw his face, it had been the face of an angel. They saw him for what he was, but they rejected it. They saw God on him. They were under conviction. And buddy, they wanted to put that conviction out. Then said the high priest, are these things so? He said, men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. He's going to give them absolute truth with no embellishment. Before he dwelt in Charan and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. For he hadn't left his family yet. He brought them with him, so he didn't bring them in till his father died. Ain't God gracious? He didn't really obey God fully because he took his father with him and his nephew. But he did not go bring him into the land. He just left him there. He got him away from that group, put him over there by themselves in Charan till his father died, and then he brings him into the land he's going to give them. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him. Then as yet he had no child. You know, he never owned anything till he bought a little piece of ground to be buried on. He just wandered around over the land that God had promised to give to him and to his people. He just wandered around on it, and he bought one little place to bury his dead on. That was the only thing he owned, was a burial plot in the land. He gave him none inheritance, and though not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised he would give his possession. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land. They should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. Now see, some people see that as a contradiction because it said 400 years. And it was 400, I can't remember that. Does anybody remember exact number? 460, what, 460 some years that they were there? Well, part of those years they were not under bondage. Part of those years is when Joseph was alive. So you got to add that in if you want to get the right number. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. So Abraham begat Isaac, circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat 12 patriarchs, and the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the fathers of Shechem. And when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, evil entreated our fathers, so he cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, was exceeding fair, nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself again to them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, you are brethren, why do you wrong one another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses this saying, and with a stranger in the land of Madian, which is where he begat 2 sons. Huh? And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Now what made it holy? Was it the ground? No, it was the God of the ground, was it not? What makes this a holy place? Is it the place? No, it's the God of the place. Huh? And what is that place? The place where his children meet, for we are his temple, and he is in us. That's what makes this a place, a holy place, is he, when he got holy children, and what makes us holy is that he lives in us. Amen? And there's only, and when it comes back around, there's only one thing that's holy in this world, and that's God Almighty. I have seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt. I have heard their groanings, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. And this Moses, whom thou refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in a bush. See how God's he's usurping. Hey, the words of men. They said we were. Yeah, no, they didn't want him as. They didn't want him as a judge. God said you're going to be a judge. God said you're going to be a ruler. God said that's what God said. Amen. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders, signs in the land of Egypt. How many times did they want to kill Moses? Every time he turned around, they were ready to kill him. His own brothers, his own family, ready to turn on him and kill him. But it wasn't him that they was wanting to kill. Who was it? It was God. I know I need to hurry up. I ain't going to get finished with it. Anyway, after he preached this, and here's where I want to get down. Solomon built, looking at over here in verse 47. Solomon built him a house, because that's what he got accused of, right? Speaking evil about this place. Solomon built him a house, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith a prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? What is the place of my rest? Have not my hands made all these things? Notice what he said. Ye stiff-necked, and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. He's telling them the truth. See, they are resisting God. They're resisting God's doctrine. They're resisting God's word. They hate everything that he's saying. And it's not him that's saying it. It's God that's saying it. And they want to kill him because they want to get rid of God. They don't want God in their heart and their memory and their mind. They want their own way. They think they knew better. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, again, they were cut to the heart. They gnash on him with their teeth, and he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heaven open, and a Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Saul. What a bloody man, amen? Hated God's ways. He loved the ways of the temple and the ways of the priests and the ways of men's teachings. He sat at Gamaliel's feet. He loved the law, but didn't really love the God of the law. He rejected the counsels of God for the counsels of men that he loved and held dear. And was consenting unto the death of Stephen. Hearing, he could not hear. Seeing, he could not see. But you know what? What did Stephen do? He prayed for them. Amen. See the grace and the love of God toward a stiff-necked, religious group of people who hated God's words and God's ways and worked in Him. He ended up calling on God, but what did it take for him to do that? It took God showing him how merciful he really was. Oh, Saul, Saul, is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? He said, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? So I'm Jesus Christ whom thou persecutest. And then he said, oh, Lord, did he not? God drew him. God drew him, but then he called on him. When he saw the truth. When he saw the truth. So why do you say all that? Why we go through all this? Because you're going to run into people like that every day. If you ain't careful, you'll reject them yourself. You'll reject them. You say they ain't nothing but a bunch of God haters. They don't. Well, we all were. Till God drew us on. So don't give up. Pray. Work. Knowing that this whole world hates the words of God. We got church members who hates the word of God. We got saved people even that don't like the word of God. Because it interferes with what they want to do. Are we going to give up on them? Are we going to be mean to them? We're going to do what God does. Just keep on loving. Keep on being merciful. Day of judgment's coming.